All the Wild Summer Was in Her Gaze by Eldritcher.
I take it that the ceremony was duly completed sans mishaps.
It is young Snape. Power bristles in him, bridled by loyalty. A fierce man, a proud man, and his wand work is as delicate as spun silk. They call him ugly and brutish. They are blind to his magic. Half lion, half child, scabbed and scarred, and hallowed in resplendent idealism. He comes to your shop infrequently, on behalf of children in his house, seeking wand repairs and replacements. Sharp-minded and respectful of the craft, he makes for edifying company.
The weighing of the wands is complete.
Tea?
Taking after Albus, are you?
His quarters are well appointed, if austere. A quaint mishmash of muggle and wizarding possessions. He is at home here, as he is in your shop. You are halfway through a discourse on the contradictory temperament of Hawthorne and its bearers, when sharp a rap on the door summons. It is Professor McGonagall.
Mr. Ollivander.
Professor.
Snape sets out a third cup before you can take your leave.
Hawthorne, the professor asks. The American wandmakers have found the means to temper its contradictory nature, haven't they?
You launch into a heated debate. She is impassioned when she speaks, and her eyes are bright with the fire of summer. Her curiosity about your craft illumines her from within. She yawns. When you glance at the odd muggle clock on Snape's mantle, you realize you have been at it for hours. Snape is in your shop for Miss Bulstrode's wand. Snapped clean. It is a wand of Hawthorne.
The third one, isn't it?
He hums. Seeing your stern glare, he concedes to explain.
The other girls in her dormitory are not fond of her.
Bullying. This boy had once skulked about under your shop's awning and promised you anything and everything for a new wand. His eyes had been red-rimmed, and he had rips in his robes and gashes on his arms. You had taken him in and set about mending his clothes and flesh, and then given him a wand. He had paid for it with his first teaching wages, years later. Discerning the memories you had rambled onto, Snape sighs and scoffs and scowls.
Hush!
He hushes.
How is Professor McGonagall?
His grin is pleased and malicious.
She would be pleased were you to attend our Hogmanay supper.
Their Hogmanay supper is on the 3rd of January. Administrative conflicts, Professor McGonagall explains. It is a party of four. The good professor, Albus, Snape, and you. Over steak pie, you ask Albus a question you have mulled over for decades.
Forgive a wandmaker's curiosity, Albus. What was your first wand?
Hawthorne,
he replies absently. Professor McGonagall glances at you, her bright eyes full of knowing, and it is disconcerting to be seen. A man of contradictions. You had suspected. You know now that Professor McGonagall, too, had suspected. Her curiosity ensnares you.
Bridge.
You are partnered with the professor. Snape and Albus are preoccupied finding methods to cheat.
I find their commitment to fraud rather disquieting, Professor.
Minerva. Yes, best not to pay heed to them. They are doomed to lose, despite their tricks and knavery.
Minerva.
Don't carry on so,
Albus complains.
Minerva.
There is poetry afterwards. After you trounce them at bridge. Minerva gloats, and you find you must look away so that you're not murmuring her name again and again in enthrallment.
Shall I regale you with my sonnets?
Albus offers.
No,
Minerva says.
No, Snape says.
Ah, see what I must suffer and abide.
They are a merry trio, and they carry you along in their wake.
The fire that stirs about her, when she stirs, burns but more clearly.
Albus has a fine voice for recitation.
Minerva is gray and pleased, and the fire that stirs about her is incandescent. Snape smiles at you, and his mischief has no malice. Inept Cupid, matching fire to withered wood.
Miss Bulstrode has snapped her wand again, I see. Minerva hums.
She is wan and worn. Seeing your stern glare, she concedes to explain.
Albus is ill.
Snape must be with him. Minerva's pallor suits her poorly. You were a pale-eyed boy with a penchant for speaking to wood and beast, unlearned in the ways of man. This old shell of you is not of her kin, not of her kind. You accompany Minerva to Hogwarts. Snape's eyes are red. His magic reeks of rank fear and despair. He sits beside Albus's sickbed, clasping a withered and blackened hand.
It is only a trifle, Albus insists,
voice warbling, eyes roving, feverish and drained of verve.
Garrick,
Snape begs you. You know, and he knows, that all is lost.
A shower and a meal,
you command him. Minerva shepherds him out.
Read to me, won't you?
Albus asks.
Severus won't oblige me.
You read to him Yeats's words. Everything alters, and one by one we drop away. His hand is a deadened claw, and his knees twist like old hawthorn trees as he thrashes in agony. A wand of yew has accomplished great and terrible deeds, and here is one more. You are fascinated, as ever you are, by the beauty of fell power. You grieve for what it has done to Albus. You hope, when you see the fierce half-lion, half-child protection that arrested the curse. Minerva waits in the circular office. Her face wears grief, unmasked. You forget the fire of her and draw near and take her into your arms. She burns you, and you let her.
I will lose them,
she whispers as she clings to you, as a vine to elm through a thunderstorm. You are no elm. You strive for her sake. She kisses you, feeding you the fury and mire in her human veins. It begins here. She leads you to her quarters, to her bed, and leads you in a dance you know not the how of. It begins with a pale-eyed boy of 10, raised in the woods by fairies who knew only to speak to tree and to beast. It begins with an inept Cupid and Hogmanay and wands of hawthorn. All you know is to murmur her name as in a trance, as she takes you into the secret places of her, as she sprawls in godly grace while you slouch over her, a rough and blood-begotten beast. Minute by minute, you live and die, in agony's ecstasy, and you learn that it begins here. It begins here. Snape is in your dungeon cell for Miss Bulstrode's wand. He will not meet your eyes. Spectre, scarecrow, and you see in him the day he counts down to. His magic is worn thin. Idealism has left him, and all that remains is conviction and duty.
I am glad, you tell him your truth. You protect her. She does not need my protection,
he says wryly, a sliver of him resurfacing from the shroud. She does. There is no one else. The Dark Lord tortures you, demanding wand's lore and wands. He strips your mind and finds the secret of you, all the wild summer in her gaze. You yield him secrets Albus would not have wanted you to yield. It is her life at stake. You are not Albus. In your dungeon, holding a broken hawthorn wand, stands a specter that Albus left behind. You did not speak human tongues when you were a pale-eyed child who the fairies raised in the ragged wood. As you seed secret after secret to protect, you find that you are more human than Albus was. You grieve for him, and for what it cost this half-lion, half-child.
Severus,
you speak his name. Bleeding and dying and in agony, you offer him your hand. He sits beside you and gently clasps the appendage.
Thank you,
you tell him. A great and terrible beauty is the relief painted on his careworn features. For him, for Albus, for Minerva, you set aside your agony to speak the balm you have.
And therefore I have sailed the seas and come to the holy city of Byzantium.
Severus wears his gratitude nakedly. For him, for him, your scream-torn voice stutters and prevails. Minerva is in your shop to return Mr. Malfoy's wand. Hawthorne, the wand that Mr. Potter wielded to bring down the Dark Lord once and for all. It does not suit Mr. Malfoy now. It does not suit Mr. Potter now. They have no contradictions in them left. You have no contradictions in you left.
Come with me,
you ask Minerva.
Come with me.
All the wild summer is in her gaze, tempered by mourning.
I must remain to...
No, no,
you say, as impassioned as Severus was, inept Cupid. Half lion, half child, idealism is his legacy to you.
You have given enough to the dead, to the living. Come with me.
Minerva is glorious, stricken and soft, and broken by love. Loss shrouds her as clouds about a fallen sun.
Where to?
She demands, striving to hold to her composure.
To the ragged wood, you offer.
She kisses you. To Byzantium, she commands.
Yes.
Her mouth is soft as she claims you as hers. All changes, and changes utterly. She takes your hand in hers and leads you to Byzantium.